Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, who would say that the direction of your life has always gone according to plan? I don't see any hands. Listen, you don't have to be alive for 5 years, much less 5 days, maybe even 5 hours, to know that plans inevitably change. Am I right? And when they do change, meaning when God's plan is different from your plan, what then? How will you respond? When plans change in the future, what will you do? We come today to the next passage in the book of Acts, as we've been going through this together as a church. The Apostle Paul is carrying out Jesus' great commission. Jesus had said to his disciples to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, meaning tell the truth about him to everyone, everywhere. And Paul's doing that. And as he goes out on this mission, God is blessing his work and others. Now here in chapter 16, we're about 20 years into this movement called the church. And already there are groups of people gathering together in churches all over the Eastern Mediterranean world. It's a miracle that the church is growing and expanding and God is blessing it. In fact, the last verse of our passage last week told us that the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. This is happening. They're sharing the truth about Jesus. People are responding in faith. They're forming churches, and they're growing. And so here's Paul now. He's going out on his second missionary journey from the church in Antioch, which is in modern-day southern Turkey. And we pick up the story after he's gone back through several of the towns where he and Barnabas previously had planted churches. We saw that already. And then last week, we saw he got to this place called Lystra, and there he picked up a young man named Timothy and added him to his team, and then they go on their way to the north. And that's where we pick up in verse 6. And the first thing we need to see today is something which I think will make some of us very, very happy. Paul made plans. Does that make some of you happy? Paul was a planner. Take a look with me at verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, and we'll get back to that part in a moment, to speak the word in Asia. Now, Asia isn't what you and I think of as Asia today. At that time, Asia was the region, the westernmost region of modern-day Turkey, which bordered on the Mediterranean Sea. And so you can see Paul had a plan. He was coming from the east, going through central Turkey, and his plan was that he wanted to get further west into Asia, probably because there were some important cities there, like Ephesus, which eventually he would reach, but not now. And so we can see that Paul had a plan. Paul was a planner. Now, it happened that the Holy Spirit didn't want that plan to go forward, and so he had to go on to plan B. But my point here is that there was a plan B. Look at verse 7. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. Okay, so plan A was Asia to the west. Plan B is Bithynia to the north. Now, what's Bithynia? Bithynia is the northernmost region of modern-day Turkey, which bordered on the Black Sea, home to cities like Nicaea and Chalcedon, two places that would become extremely important in church history later. But at this point in time, there were no Christians there, no believers. And so Paul's plan was he's going to go north to Bithynia. He's going to preach the gospel there. He's going to share the truth about who Jesus is and show people that they have a need for a Savior because of their sin. He's going to tell them the truth that there is a holy God that we must obey and that we haven't because we're sinners and that we would be condemned apart from this glorious good news that God sent his own Son, Jesus, to live the perfect life that you and I could never live. And going to the cross in the place of sinners, taking the penalty they deserved and giving them the free righteousness, the gift of his grace in return. He would be put on the cross and then he would be buried in a tomb, taking the penalty for sin so that we could be forgiven. And then God would raise him on the third day, defeating death forever so we could receive the gift of eternal life with God forever. Paul's plan is to go and to preach this message. Plan A was Asia. Plan B, Bithynia. Paul has a plan. There's even a plan C. Bithynia doesn't work out, as we see. And we're not exactly sure why, but verse 8 tells us that he went down to Troas. And in those four words, he went down to Troas. That's 200 miles to the west on foot. Can you imagine? 200 miles? Today, later today, I'm going to be driving a few hundred miles to see family. And I got to tell you, I'm dreading driving a few hundred miles, much less walking on my feet. This would have been weeks on the road. But the point here is that Paul had a plan. Asia was a no. Bithynia was a no. Okay, let's go west to Troas, which is a city on the westernmost part of Turkey, on the Aegean Sea. Paul had a plan. Paul was a planner. He was thinking about where and when he would go to preach the gospel. Do you like to make plans? Let me see those hands this time. If you are a planner, don't be ashamed. Many of us are. We like plans, don't we? We like to have some degree of certainty about the future, some sense of control. For me, several years ago, when my wife and I were still in the Air Force, we lived in San Antonio. And I had already had this sense of calling from God to go into pastoral ministry, but I didn't know where, I didn't know when, and I didn't know how. So I had a plan. My plan was that I would serve a few more years in the Air Force to establish greater stability, have financial security. I would earn the full GI Bill. Some of you who have served know what that is. Educational benefits that I could then use to go to seminary and completely pay for it. I wouldn't have had to pay a dime to go to seminary. So that was my plan. Stay in a few more years, get that financial security, then go off and do something different. Do you have plans? Some of us have plans for a degree you want to get. Some of us have plans for a job you want to pursue. Some of us have plans for a spouse you hope to marry one day, or children you hope to have. You may have plans for a health issue that you would finally be able to overcome. Many plans. We have plans, don't we? What do we do when the plans change? Paul made his plans, but the problem was that God had other plans. Verse 6, the Holy Spirit forbade them from speaking the word in Asia. Now, we don't know why the Holy Spirit didn't want them to speak in Asia. It's not that that was the wrong motivation or the wrong mission. No, it was. Everywhere Paul went, he preached the gospel. It wasn't that he was on doing the wrong thing. It was just not now and not there. And then in verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus, which is another term for the Holy Spirit, doesn't allow them to go north into Bithynia. And again, we don't know exactly how this happened. Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Was it a prophetic word? How did they know that? Were they blocked or inhibited from proceeding? We're not sure. But in both of these situations, the answer was no. You're not going into those places. Your plan is not God's plan. Then they go west. They go into Troas. Verse 8, 200-mile journey on foot. Imagine that. Going to a different place. And we know that Paul was a praying man. I wonder what he was doing on this 200-mile-long journey by foot. Praying, asking, seeking. Lord, what's next? Lord, what do you have for us? We made our plans. Obviously, they weren't yours. So what do you have for us, God? I want to tell you a little bit about the history of this church. Now, if you're new to Grace, I want you to know that whenever I use the word church, I don't talk about a building. A church is a group of people who gather to worship and serve Jesus together. That is the biblical definition of a church. And so this church started in 1899. And in 1900, they built a building on Maple Avenue in Stamford. Some of you know Maple Avenue. Go out to Cortland, turn right on Main Street, go down about a half a mile, turn left on Maple Avenue. That's where they built a building. And that's where this church met for about 50, almost 60 years. Well, the late 1950s, the city of Stamford came to the church and said, "We need the land. We need to build a school. Your church building is in the way." And so here's this church that had been faithfully serving, faithfully preaching, faithfully working together to reach their community with the gospel for almost 60 years on the same corner of Stamford. And now all of a sudden, here comes the city. Sorry, can't keep going. Change in plans. You can imagine, right? I wonder what some of those conversations were like. Why, Lord? What's going on here? I mean, at that point in time, their name was even the Maple Avenue Bible Protestant Church. If we leave Maple Avenue, we got to change our name, right? What's going on, Lord? Why the change of plans? It seems like our plans were not your plans. So what do? When God has other plans. My story, just for a minute, I was serving in San Antonio, my wife and I, and kind of out of the blue, a church in New Jersey reached out to me, and they were interested in seeing if I was interested in applying for their pastor of student ministries position. And my initial response was, "Phew, this is way too soon. I had my plan, 3 more years, financial security, GI Bill, pay for school completely, get established more in this community. This isn't my plan, Lord. What's going on?" What do we do when our plans are not God's plans? What should Christians do? Let's go back to our text. Verse 6, the door was shut to Asia. Okay, he says, let's go north. Paul says, let's go to Bithynia. Verse 7, the door gets shut to Bithynia. Okay, what then? Let's go west. Let's go to Troas. Verse 8, he's in Troas. And I mentioned, Paul is a praying man. Every letter he writes to the churches, he's praying for them. We can see his prayers. We can actually read his prayers. We can pray Paul's prayers. Have you ever thought about that? He's a praying man. You've got to think, he's been talking to God about what's next, Lord. Wasn't Asia, wasn't Bithynia, and now we're here in Troas. Lord, what do you want us to do? Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, a quick side note, this doesn't mean that every answer from God will come by way of a vision. It doesn't even mean necessarily that we should seek out visions. But it is clear evidence that God can use this type of vision to show somebody what he wants them to do. And in this particular case, it was a man from Macedonia. Paul could identify him somehow of where he was from. Macedonia is in modern-day Greece, across the Aegean Sea from where he was, in Europe, a place he'd never been. Okay? And he sees this vision, And in the vision, the man speaks to him. He could actually hear words. And the emphasis in the sentence that this man from Macedonia says is the word, help us. It's an imperative verb. It's a command. This man from Macedonia is urging Paul, saying, help us. We need your help. And specifically, what help? The help of the gospel. The help of Jesus Christ. The help of this great good news of salvation, of eternity in the presence of God, forgiveness of all of our sins, peace with God, reconciliation, eternity. That's what they conclude. In verse 10, look at verse 10. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately, and I love that, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The gospel is the help they needed. Notice very quickly here the word we. This is the first use of we in the book of Acts. This is where Luke, the author, puts himself into the story. He was there. He was originally from Antioch. They had set out together, but Luke is there experiencing this with Paul. Paul shares the vision with the group, and together immediately they sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had just revealed his plan. The plan. Their plan wasn't quite the same thing as God's plan. Friends, Paul completely surrendered his plans to God. Paul trusted God. Paul waited for God. Paul sought God. And when God finally gave him this next assignment, immediately, without hesitation, he obeyed him. Paul, the planner, surrendered his plans to God. Grace Church, do you trust God like that? Especially those of us who love to plan and love to have a certain degree of control over our lives, are you willing, like Paul was willing, to completely surrender your plans to God? So that degree you are hoping to obtain, have you surrendered that plan to God? That job you were hoping to land, have you surrendered that plan to God? That spouse you're hoping to marry someday, have you surrendered that plan to God? Those children you're hoping to have someday, have you surrendered that plan to God? The home that you're hoping to buy someday, have you surrendered that plan to God? Friends, whatever you're planning, whatever you have on your vision board, if you have one of those, have you surrendered that plan to God? That's what Paul did. Plan A, shut down. Plan B, shut down. Plan C, let's wait for the Lord, and then God answers. Now we know what he wants. Let's go. Do you trust the Lord like Paul? Sometimes we can be inflexible. Sometimes we can insist on retaining the illusion of control that we like to have. Sometimes we can dig in and insist or try to force our plan, can't we? Trust the Lord. Trust that his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Trust God like Paul. Don't be inflexible. Don't say, like I imagine people might have said, but God, we're the Maple Avenue Bible Protestant Church. We can't possibly change our name. If they had insisted on staying there, Grace, they never would have moved here. God had another plan for the church back in 1963 when they laid the cornerstone at this place. What if I had insisted, God, I need those 3 more years. I need that security. I need to be more established. I need to have it all paid for. Grace, I wouldn't be here. I would be somewhere else. Trust the Lord. Don't be inflexible. Completely surrender your plan to God. I know this is hard for many of us, really, really hard, and it might even seem impossible because you can't deal with the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I never get that degree? What if I never get that job? What if I never get that spouse? What if I never get those children? What if I never get the house? What if I never? What if? What if? What if? How can I possibly surrender my plans to God? Have you ever asked that? Let me tell you how it is possible to surrender your plans to God. I want to bring you back to one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. We went through the Gospel of Mark together as a church in my first year here. And there's a passage there that is absolutely convicting for me. And it has to do with the disciple Peter. Peter is one of my favorite disciples. He's quick to understand sometimes, but other times not so much. And in this particular passage in Mark chapter 8, Peter does something absolutely astounding. He confesses the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the first person in the Bible to do so. The first person to get it. Jesus, you're the Christ, which means the Messiah, anointed one. And the passage is in Mark 8, starting at verse 27 on down. It's a familiar passage to many. Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" One of the most important questions you can ever think about in your life. Who do you say Jesus is? Peter said, "You are the Christ," which means anointed one, Messiah. And Jesus strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he, that is Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man, another term for the Messiah, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter said, "Lord, that's not in the plan. Yes, you're the Messiah. Yes, you're the anointed one. You've come to save your people, but to suffer and be rejected by the religious leaders and to be put to death, that's not part of the plan. Lord, how can that possibly fit with you being the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the king? How could you die?" Peter's saying, "Jesus, this isn't in the plan." But look what Jesus says. But turning and seeing his disciples, he, that is Jesus, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Grace, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Peter was saying, "You can't die, Jesus. That's not part of the plan. That doesn't fit with my understanding of you being Messiah." Jesus is saying, "That's the things of man. You don't understand the things of God. The things of God is this. Jesus always came to die. And he came to die in the place of sinners so he could take their penalty and give them pardon. And not just pardon, but peace with God. Eternal life in his presence forever." See, Jesus had to go to the cross in order to make our redemption possible, to make our salvation possible. Jesus always planned to go to the cross. God's plan was different than man's plan. And this is why we can trust that God's plans are better than our plans. This is why we can completely surrender our plans to God. It's because he's proven himself to be faithful, as Chad talked about. He's shown to what lengths he's willing to go to rescue the rebels that we can be. Can't we be rebels against God? And he will redeem us. He's done so through the cross of Jesus Christ, a plan that nobody would have planned except God. This was his plan. And this is why we can trust him. This is why Paul could trust him. Paul knew him. Paul knew the Lord Jesus, who had rescued him from a life of running, of rebellion, of rejecting the truth about who Jesus is. Paul trusted. Will we trust? Friend, will we trust God with our plans? Will we surrender our plans to God because he's proved himself trustworthy in Christ and we belong to him? Friends, if you know the Lord, if you trust the Lord, then you'll trust your plans to Him. And you'll say, come what may, whatever happens, I trust Him. This is what enables us to respond like Paul when our plans are not God's plans. Instead of worrying about all of the what ifs, what if this, what if that, through Jesus, who saved us, our what ifs become what nows. What now, Lord? That plan was shut down. What do you want from me now? I had a plan B. That didn't work out. What do you want from me now? Instead of what if this happens, what if that happens, what now, Lord? This is the prayer Paul's asking. What now? It wasn't Asia. It wasn't Bithynia. Here I am in Troas. What now? And he answers him, Macedonia. Cross the sea. Preach the gospel. This is the plan of God. Maybe today some of your fears, anxieties, concerns, all the what ifs, you need to let them go. Surrender them completely to God and say, Lord, instead of what if, I'm asking what now? What do you want from me? And if you know what he's done for you in Christ, then when the answer comes from the Lord, you're ready to do exactly what Paul and his companions did, to get up immediately and get moving on the plan of God for you. What now? Let's come back to my story just for a minute. This church in New Jersey reached out to me. They wanted to move forward. And I asked the questions, what if we don't have enough? How am I going to do this seminary? Why are we leaving this community we've just jumped into, barely gotten to know people in? Why are we leaving these stable, successful jobs for something completely unknown? Lord, are you sure? And the church was using one of these search companies that helps find pastors. And I remember the conversation I had with him when we were talking about this transition and we were talking about all of the things that would change, okay? My wife, Sarah, would leave her job in the Air Force. And she was pregnant at the time with our first child, Peter. And then she would give birth to Peter. So she would leave her job, and then we would have a baby, our first. And then I would leave my job. And then we would move across the country. And then we would get into a new house with a new baby, and I would start a new job in a new church, in a new place, in a new ministry that I had never been a part of before. And all of that in 6 weeks. And this guy asked me, are you sure you want to do that? And listen, here's what I said, and I said it by the grace of God, who loved me and who gave his son to rescue me and who through his Holy Spirit indwells and empowers me. Not by my strength did I say this, not because I'm so great. I said it because God is great. Here's what I said. I said, if that is what God wants me to do, then yes, I will do it. Amen. And you can say the same thing. Whatever the future holds, whatever your plans are, and whatever God's plans are, you can completely surrender these to Him. Yeah. Why? Because of who He is, because of what He's done for you in Christ. No matter what happens, you belong to Him. He has saved you. And for many of you, He may even call you to be proclaimers of His gospel to new peoples in new places. Maybe God would call some of you, like He called Paul, to go to new places and to preach to new peoples, to leave behind comfort, to say yes to His call. Maybe. We can, because of what He's done for us in Christ. Proverbs 16:9, I want to leave you with this. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart, man makes his plans, but the Lord establishes his steps. Grace, brothers and sisters in Christ, make your plans. Paul certainly did. But write them in pencil. And remember, God holds the eraser. Surrender your plans completely to Him, the one who planned to save you. Trust Him. Trust Him today. Let's trust Him as a church. Let's trust Him in our families. Let's trust Him individually. And like Paul, whatever He says, let's do. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank You for sending Your Son, a plan nobody would have expected, nobody would have chosen, nobody would have planned, but You did, Lord, and You did to rescue us. Lord, because You so loved the world, You sent Your Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. I thank You for that great gift of Your grace. God, I pray today that for any who may be struggling to trust You, would You help us to look at the cross and to see Your faithfulness, and then to just loosen that grip and take steps forward, trusting You to lead us every step of the way. In Christ's name we pray.